Oh, but okay. Well, here, okay. So, Em, here's what happened. And you can tell me if this was like a cool vibe or not. So somebody once said to me at a record store that when he goes to parties, he likes to go up to everybody individually and say, "Don't you think it's weird how everybody here is talking about 9/11?" And I've always been really intrigued by this. So I was at a party in Chicago a couple weeks ago and decided, is this my chance to try it? because there's no social consequences of me doing something weird in another city. Although,
yeah, is that how your host feels about it?
although I would say the past couple of months have proven the thing that I just said totally wrong. The point is, I was talking to a person and it felt flirty. And then about halfway through, I went, "Have you noticed how everybody here is talking about 9/11? Isn't that weird?" And then she went, "Cool, I'm going to go find my friends." that's it.
Has this been successful for anyone in the past?
I don't know. Well, the guy who told me about it claimed that it was.
Was this like right after 9/11?
This was in 2012. It's a thing I've been thinking about for 12 years.
Well, I think it's important to point out here that it was successful for him in like getting everyone at the party eventually actually talking about 9/11.
Right.
That was I don't think anyone could expect it to work as a flirting technique.
Yeah. So, how are you, Em?
I'm good.
Cool.
Yeah.
What'd you do today?
I worked today. I made a loaf of bread.
Oh, what?
So I'm a sourdough loaf.
Oh my!
But you know, I've just been eating a lot of bread since I started baking bread.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful food.
It really is.
I've been eating a lot of.
And you need it to make a sandwich.
Yeah. I've been eating a lot of rice since I ran out of groceries. So that's what my diet's like right now. A lot of white rice and candy.
Oh, wow.
I actually had the opposite problem where I barely had enough rice to make my dinner tonight.
It's fucked up. It's totally fucked up. Also, Mark, I wanted to apologize. I've been editing last night's episode and forgot that it started with me telling you to fuck off for apparently no reason.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long break. Sometimes the energy calibration can get a little funky.
Yeah, and when you see a new friend or like an old friend that you haven't seen in a minute, do you open your conversation by telling them to go fuck themselves?
Usually not. Yeah,
you seem a lot nicer than me.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
It might be like the fourth thing I say to them, but not the first thing.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So did you make a sandwich?
I did. Well, it's not really a sandwich.
Yeah, defend yourself.
I like breakfast burritos.
Yeah.
Should I defend myself more?
Yeah, well, okay, so why is a burrito a sandwich?
You know, if you can eat a sandwich for breakfast, well, why can't you eat a burrito for breakfast? And why can't I just make a burrito?
Well, I feel like you're arguing that a burrito could be breakfast and not that a burrito could be a sandwich.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess what I'm saying is I like burritos and
fuck it.
I also had a hard time. I didn't want to like pick three songs that felt like sequential in some way, like the bread and then like the meat in the middle. Yeah. I just wanted to pick three songs that sort of like, I don't know, that I liked listening to in any order, really.
So what you're saying is that everybody else who has come on the podcast is wrong.
I'm just saying that I am more creative than them.
You're not the first person to make a burrito, I think.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay.
We'll go with yes. I think for the purposes of this podcast, really, any handheld lunch item is fine.
Or breakfast item.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark. What do you
think my other inspiration was I live right around the corner from Hudson Street Deli, and they do breakfast and lunch stuff, but I most often get their breakfast burrito just because I like it the best. So I think in my mind, that's just where I go. I go to the burrito.
Yeah.
What do I put in the burrito?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got some like tofu scramble in there. You've got some black beans. Maybe something green in there, like a sauteed kale. What else? Hot sauce. Mm-hmm. Tomatoes, maybe some like home fries if you're lucky.
Oh yeah. Would you consider like a vegan cheese of some kind?
Oh yeah, I put some vegan cheese in there, sure.
Yeah, totally. I don't know what I expect to get out of sharing this thought, but somebody I used to date made really good tofu scramble, and I've never been able to figure out how she did it. Like, I don't know what she was doing to that tofu.
What did it taste like?
I don't know. It was really good. Like, I don't know.
Is it too late to ask?
Is it too... I don't know. We haven't talked in, like, 8 years.
Okay, so it's not either of the people I was thinking of.
Would it be weird to call her out of the blue and say, hey, I know the last time we talked wasn't good, but how did you make tofu?
Yes. I think that would be weird.
That would be weird.
Probably.
Okay.
You could get away with it as a text or like an Instagram message.
I don't think a
call would work.
Yeah, that's good advice. A text.
Yeah.
Maybe it was nutritional yeast or just like yellow mustard.
Maybe.
Yeah. How much effort have you put into trying to reverse engineer this
little
tofu scramble? Okay.
Very little. Also, do y'all ever get that thing where like there's like a recipe you've made many times, but if you do it in a different kitchen, it doesn't come out the same?
Totally. Especially if the cookware matters or the knives matter.
Yeah. Do you season your pots and pans?
I do the bare minimum. I don't put them in the oven and like bake them like you're supposed to.
Yeah, fuck that. I don't do that.
That's so much work. I just put oil on them. I try to keep them clean and then I like put oil on them after.
Oh, okay.
But they're looking kind of beat up at the moment.
Hey, your show was really good last weekend, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I didn't see you when I was leaving.
I was talking in the hallway.
Oh, yeah, in that weird hallway.
In that weird hallway. But thank you for coming. It was super fun. It was a great show. Felt like I made some friends that night. So.
Oh, I did too. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a really fantastic set. From y'all, so
thank you. And we have it all on video, so I'll be able to confirm or deny that later.
Oh yeah, because Jake was filming. Yeah.
Yep, good old Jake. In exchange for a loaf of banana bread that Andy's gonna make him.
Oh, cute.
But then he filmed everyone else, which I was happy about because I would have felt weird if like we just had our own like personal videographer that just left after we played.
Yeah, that's always a weird vibe when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, What song do you want to talk about first?
Anywho, we could start with the first one, the Mountain Goats.
Okay. Yeah, why this song? What part of the burrito could it be?
Ooh.
And what is the name of this song for the listeners?
This song has two titles. It's either called The Day the Aliens Came or Hawaiian Feeling, and I have no idea why it would be called Hawaiian Feeling.
Hey, Mr. Hughes and Mr. Vanderslice, this is a new song I'm really excited about, and so since I wrote it on my old court guitar instead of the new one, I want to play it on that just for purposes of because I've been writing it and so forth, so that's why it sounds a little beat up and flat and everything because these strings are old and everything, so sorry about that. It's an A. I think I'm tuned to an A. It should be called Hawaiian Feeling, but probably can't be called that. Okay, right. All right. I will wake up at 6 a.m. again. And I will find my way to the front door like a soldier crawling through the smoking carnage. Smoldering bodies at my feet. I'd love to stick around, but I've got someone to meet, and I will put my best foot forward. And oh, thank God I made it out of there on the day when my new friends come. I will present myself in my nice white tuxedo jacket. And I will look out at the day through my dark sunglasses and take in the scene. House behind me and the people in it will all go up like steam in just a minute. There's gonna be a redefining of some borders, and I will receive my orders on the day when my new friends come. The rooftops and the sidewalks and oh, friends, old friends, dear friends, I'm gonna look fantastic. There won't be any reason left to cry, 'cause there won't be any people left to cry for. My memory's gonna vaporize itself, and my Italian shoes, well, they will be to die for. I believe I can fly. You look up at me and wave goodbye on the day when my new friends come.
He also says at the beginning, like, we're not allowed to use that title or something.
It probably can't be called that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. And they ended up cutting it from, I think they ended up cutting it from the final album.
What album was it supposed to be on?
I think it was supposed to be on the Sunset Tree, but it was only on the, like, demo version of the Sunset Tree.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a demo album called Come, Come, Come to the Sunset Tree.
I think it's just two comes, but yeah.
Wow. Excuse me.
Yeah, I am someone who I guess used to listen to a lot more like folk music and acoustic music. And when I started getting into the Mountain Goats, I liked how angry you could be and still have the song sound pretty on just like you singing, playing an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And I think he's just really good at capturing feelings as a songwriter. And to me, this song has so much like teen angst and like teen misery, like wrapped up in this, like, you know, beautiful like lyrics. Yeah, I don't know. I like a lot of Mound Goat songs and albums, and like their polished stuff is great, but there's something about those like gritty demos where you can like tell it was recorded on like a shitty tape recorder that make it feel like more personal. And there's something I really like about that. But I know I feel like it's not a very impressive song. Like, I almost didn't put it on here, but I felt like I had to. Like, sonically, musically, structure-wise, pretty simple. But I don't know. That's where the magic is.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways it's, like, on par with, like, a lot of his, like, boombox recording kind of stuff. Yeah, I like this song. I think I don't know, probably like the third or fourth Mountain Goat song we've done, I think.
Ooh, do you remember what the other ones are?
Somebody chose Foreign Object, which was a controversial pick, because I contend that's the best Mountain Goat song on the best album. Sorry.
What album is that from?
That's on Beat the Chant, baby.
Oh, okay.
What was that song Ian chose that we both thought sucked, Mark?
I'm looking now.
I forget what record it was on. Is that on it's on All Eternal's deck. It's called Never Quite Free?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know either of those songs.
And then there have been a couple others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my usual opinion about Mountain Goats is I like him better when he has a band. But lately, I've been coming back around to solo John. So,
lately, as in the music they've been releasing lately, or just in your own?
Just in my own listening. I do think, have you listened to the most recent album?
I don't think so.
It's really good. I think it's fantastic.
Okay.
It's his, like, quote unquote, like, sequel to All Hail West Texas.
Ooh.
And I think, so I don't want to get too much on this soapbox because I already did it when we talked about Beat the Champ, but my maybe kind of beef with Mountain Goats over the past like 10 years is, I feel like he kind of like latches onto like a gimmick for an album but doesn't like take it in an interesting direction. Like, there's like the Goths album, which has like one song that is about Goths, and then the rest is just like, here's some Mountain Goat songs. And I have always wanted him to like more fully realize the idea of a concept album.
I feel like Goths, maybe there's only one song that mentions them in the lyrics, but it's like a really ethereal, odd album, like really sounds different for them. I don't know if it sounds like goth music, but like it has a definite different atmosphere.
All right, maybe I should give it a second chance.
But you're, when you think concept album, do you think more like in the lyrics?
Yeah, like I want like an A to B story. You know,
that's kind of what you do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm saying, John, be more like me.
John, come on, you write books, you can figure this out.
Get your shit together, dude.
I read his first novel. Have you all read it?
Wolf in White Van.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I guess it's an A to B story, but it's about as far from that as you can be and still be a A to B story. So.
It's more like a B to A story, am I right? Because it's backwards.
Is it backwards?
Well, it's like non-linear, right?
It's very non-linear. Yeah. Very like jumping all over the place.
Yeah. Cheap City albums don't strike me as especially linear either.
No, they're totally not. No, they're really, really not. yeah, I thought Wolf in White Van is like interesting, but I think he seems a little too and I know that like I brought this up last time, I think, where I was like, I think John Darnielle is sometimes like a little too into the whole like mental institution like vibe. And I know people are always like, well, he worked in one, but it's like there's other places to set stuff. It feels a little like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't really know how I feel about it, but it doesn't always feel good to me.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I forgot about that aspect. But the main character is like disfigured or something, right? Like, yeah. There's something about him. I kind of had trouble finishing that book, but it really painted a very unique picture. Never read a book quite like it.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting to see that side of him. But yeah, and I know he's written some other books. Maybe they're the same as that one. I don't know.
I don't know. I own a copy of his most recent one, and I haven't read it yet.
Oh, maybe we need to start a book club.
Oh yeah, John Darnielle book club. So I'll read all three of his books and then call it a day,
and then like feel weird.
Have you seen the movie Book Club?
I don't think so.
Did you see this movie, Mark?
No, tell us about it.
Okay, I would be happy to. So the movie Book Club is about four older ladies who have a book club, and they decide to read 50 Shades of Grey, they all like get horny. Well, actually, honestly, like only like one of them like actually gets horny. The rest of them are just like, I don't think I like my husband. But in the sense of Book Club, where like they read a book and it changes their lives because now they're all horny, like we'll read a John Darnielle book and it'll change our lives because we'll be depressed.
Probably.
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
You're already depressed and horny.
Maybe we'll all just start making up our own RPG games. I don't know.
Yeah. and I'll be like, here's my concept album that's a tribute to action movies.
Whoa.
Is that coming?
No, that's a Mountain Goats album. That's a thing he did. Okay. I listened to that like once and called it a day.
Beyond the like general recording aesthetic, what about this particular Mountain Goats song caused you to choose it?
I like it because he's just like, it's so, what's the word, like misanthropic, but in such a like juvenile way. I just find it like charming and defiant. I feel like we can all like relate to that feeling of like fuck everyone. I mean, that's not the place you should stop, but I like that there's a song that sort of like profiles that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just, it's a fun song in a fuck everyone kind of way.
Yeah,
and it's really easy to learn and play on guitar if you want to do that. And I like that too.
I like him when he's in his fuck everybody mode.
Yeah, because he's like such a like sweet kind of nerdy guy.
Right.
So there's nothing like tough about it. but it's very relatable.
Yeah. Well, I also like, I think the other thing that I really like about the new album, Jenny from Thebes, is that like I feel like he's like, I have a thing that I kind of like feel like I have to say here. Like it feels more urgent, and I feel like the past couple records have just been like, I'm having a good time like singing about you know, Dungeons and Dragons and shit, which is also like totally fun, but like there's a different vibe.
What's the vibe of the new album?
Well, I think it's just kind of like him like latching onto like the despair of like never like being able to like reconnect with this person, you know, who like had like such a like an important like influence in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Shit's sad.
Yeah, that's real. And I mean, you have to wonder, he's such a like prolific songwriter, like at what point do you run out of material? Like, even if it's like, you definitely at a certain point, it seems like a lot of songwriters run out of like kind of personal material, like, you know, like traumatic things they're working through. Cause if you like, if you digest that and you've like written an album about it, you're moving on. Like, what are you going to write about?
In theory, you're moving on. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe that's where his like storytelling ability and like passion for creating characters and scenarios gives him an ability to expand beyond just the like the first person confessional mode that can run out of material quickly.
Yeah, I love that about his songwriting too, like the ability to write from different characters' perspectives.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something, it's something I'm trying to do more of, but definitely like doesn't come naturally to me. But he always wanted to be like a writer of books, like before he became a musician. So I guess it makes sense that he sort of went that way with the songs.
For sure.
And it gives you, a lot more like opportunity to write.
Yeah. I think once you're in the mode of like, I'm creating characters and like writing songs like from their perspective, like you can kind of never run out of ideas in theory. But I think I know we're not supposed to be talking about the what, Mark.
Oh, I was gonna say, and you can, you know, like put forth ideas that you don't necessarily endorse or agree with.
Oh yeah, totally.
Because it's not necessarily your point of view that you're putting across.
Right. And you can also, I think, like, have a character, like, react or kind of, like, follow something to its conclusion in a way that you wouldn't personally, which can be really interesting.
That makes me think of another Mountain Goats song that I really like called New Chevrolet in Flames.
What record is that one on?
I don't know. I have like a really obscure collection of Mountain Goat songs. Let me see if I can look it up.
It is
the one where Post-Cambrian Geology.
What the fuck is that record?
Came out in 2000, apparently.
Huh.
It's also on See America Right.
Oh, like the EP.
Yeah.
I have that. I don't remember this song. But I do believe you. Yeah.
It's a great song. He basically gets drunk with like, I guess, his girlfriend or lover. And they go to a like car dealership and convince the like salesperson to let them like try out one of the new cars. Uh-huh. And then they drive it to like the local high school and set it on fire.
Word.
So
that's fun.
You know, he's probably not endorsing arson, but
yeah,
it's fun to write about and sing about.
That's true. Yeah. Does Sun Urchins have any arson songs?
Ooh, we should. I mean, sun, fire, arson, you know.
It's right there.
You can get there.
Yeah. But I keep thinking about, like, with that new album, what, like, what happened in his life where he was like, okay, it's been, what, 25 years since All Hail West Texas? Or I guess 22 years, but, like, what happened where he was like, I have something else to say about this?
You Maybe know? Did that person pass away?
I don't know. It's just an interesting thing to think about, I guess.
Yeah. Because the whole album is about her.
Yeah, and I think just, like, more of, like, this kind of, like, West Texas milieu, as it were. I've never said milieu out loud before, but it felt really good.
You did great.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. What do you think about that, Mark?
I would be afraid to say that word out loud, so I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I also don't know if you did a good job or not.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Mark, did you like this song? I actually don't really remember where you stand on, like, boomboxy mountain goats.
It's not my favorite. I do like All Hail West Texas, but I've never... I like the stuff that came right after it so much that I never, like, felt compelled to go backwards in that way. But Tallahassee, Sunset Tree, Get Lonely are my jam.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that.
It's good stuff. There's something for everyone in the Mountain Goats discography at this point.
This is true. Have you ever seen them before? I've never seen this band.
I actually played a show with John Darnielle once.
Oh, like him playing solo?
Oh, wow.
Him playing solo. Wow. In Galesburg, Illinois, which he played, because he wrote an album called...
Full Force Galesburg, yeah.
Full Force Galesburg. Having never set foot in Galesburg, which he said at the show... He just stopped. He was on a train that made a stop in Galesburg, and he decided that's what he was going to base his next album on. But yeah, it was just him solo, and that was really cool. I've seen the Mountain Goats full band, I think, just once in Jersey City, and it was, like, not the right venue to see them. It was, like, a huge venue. It was cool to see all the, like, people a lot younger than me who are super into the Mountain Goats and, like, singing along to every word. I forget what album that was after. This must have been in, like, 2021 or something. But I wasn't, like, super into that album, so it wasn't as, like, incredible as I thought it would be. But they're a tight band.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've never seen that. I, like, they come around all the time, and I just never, like, really feel compelled to go, and I don't know why, because I like this band.
You should do it at least once.
Okay, sure.
I feel like he has a lot of funny rants between songs.
I like a funny rant.
Yeah. Good performer, definitely.
I like good performers, too. So, sounds like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, you should totally do it.
I was pretty underwhelmed by my one time seeing the Mountain Goats.
When did you see them, Mark?
Like 2013.
Okay.
And it was at that venue in Boston that we've talked about that is oriented the wrong way.
Oh, the Paradise?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck the Paradise. Do you have opinions about the Paradise, Em?
I don't think I've ever been there. It's oriented the wrong way.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's like it's a room where you would expect, you know, the stage would be at the back of the, like, shorter end of the rectangle. And instead, the stage is just, like, this big-ass box in the middle of the long side of the rectangle. And so there are, like, almost no places to stand where you have, like, a good view and good sound.
Interesting. Is it kind of like the Met in Pawtucket? Have you been there?
It's not. Well, I like the Met. It's more like it's more rectangular than the Met. Like the Met is like almost square. Yeah, it's weird because like at the Paradise. Oh, hold on, let me like.
So it's more like Myrtle, but like no booths.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like Myrtle, except if it's like huge. Like it's I don't know, probably how many people can fit in the Paradise? Like 500 or 600 or something, right?
I have no idea. I only went the once.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I've been there a bunch of times.
And you said never again. Yeah.
I will say my favorite part about the Paradise. I don't know if this is still a thing. I haven't been there in a minute, but because it's like such like a long-standing like Boston institution. They have like these like screens on the walls that like will just kind of like show. It's like a slideshow of quotes from famous musicians about like playing at the Paradise. And there's one like, there's like a Tom Waits quote where he's like, "They gave me a chance" or whatever, you know. But like, the one from Bono is so fucking funny, and it's like him trying to be nice, but he doesn't know how to be humble. Where he's just like, he's like, "Yeah, the Paradise, you know, one of the first places we played when we came to the States, and." Yeah, we were always a shitty club band. We were meant for stadiums.
Oh my god!
And I loved like seeing like, I don't know. I saw Panda Bear at the Paradise once, and I was like, I love seeing a Bono quote on the wall about this right now.
As in, they probably sounded shitty in that club because they were meant for stadiums.
I guess that's the implication. But also everybody sounds shitty in the Paradise because it's a shitty venue.
There is that.
Yeah. There's a single good place to stand if you want to hear everything, and it's the worst spot in the venue, so Paradise, get your shit together.
I will avoid it.
Yeah, avoid it.
One half of a star on Yelp. From the Song Sandwich crew.
Yeah, venues have been like actually like contacting us trying to get that Song Sandwich bump.
Yeah, ever since they found out about your bathroom spreadsheet, they want to know where they're at.
Oh, and you know who has a shitty bathroom? The Paradise.
Is it the Paradise?
Yeah. You know who has a great bathroom? If we're going to keep talking about Boston venues, is the Sinclair has a fantastic bathroom.
Oh yeah, I think I've been there.
Yeah. Roadrunner is okay.
Roadrunner was fine.
The Royale kind of sucks. You know what I don't like about the Royale is that they have like bathroom attendants, and like they're like there to collect tips. And I'm like, I don't feel like I don't want to give you money for standing there holding paper towels.
That's too much. We're at like a punk show or something. Like that's
right.
Not...
Yeah.
I'd rather run out of toilet paper.
Yeah. What other Boston venues can we roast? O'Brien's, shitty bathroom. Midway, shitty bathroom. State Park, also a shitty bathroom. More?
Why is that one shitty?
The one at State Park?
Yeah.
That could just be cleaner. We all know that Clover has opinions about bathrooms.
Are you going to share those or
I like my public bathroom experience to be like kind of like curated, you know, like I don't want to just kind of like walk into a room that like has a toilet. Like I would like to kind of be like taken on a journey.
So you seem like you would love bathroom attendants because they're there to take you on a journey.
But they're not taking you on a journey. They're just they hold paper towels and then they like stand there awkwardly waiting for money.
As what like about I get Brighton like, Music Hall.
I don't Brighton know. You don't hall? Seem very consistent here.
Bathroom at Brighton Music Hall is okay. Yeah. Bathrooms at MGM the new spot in by Fenway. It's okay.
I really don't go to Boston that much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so should we rate? You want to rate Providence bathrooms?
You know, I think there's actually an Instagram.
Oh, I know all about this.
You know about the Instagram?
I sure do.
Are you Gossip Girl of the Providence bathroom Instagram?
No, but do you remember before I decided to move to Providence? Remember we had Hillary from Hansy on the podcast?
Yep.
And man, she got a real weird version of Clover. But because remember we recorded her like 12 hours after I got back from that tour.
Oh yeah.
Woo. Anyway. we talked to her a lot about bathrooms.
And she told you about toilets of PVD.
Yeah, yeah. Right afterwards, she sent it to me.
Nice.
So, thanks, Hillary. That's it. Okay, so where's your favorite bathroom in Providence? Let's hear it.
My own bathroom?
Yeah, you have a pretty good bathroom.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, places that have good bathrooms. Yeah, I don't know. Nothing's really popping out. Do you have any favorites?
Do I have any favorite bathrooms? I don't know if I have any favorites yet. I can tell you some bathroom thoughts, though. Let's talk News Cafe. Men's room, real shitty. Women's room, not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That's true. I do like the women's room at News Cafe.
Yeah. It has a mirror.
It's very
spacious.
A full-length mirror. Plenty of room for all your friends to go in there with you. And I gotta say, I do hate a bathroom that just opens up directly into like the crowd of people that are standing outside.
Yeah. Yeah, big problem.
Yeah.
Bathroom at Lost Bag. Real bummer in there.
Could use a door.
Could use a door. Yeah. That is my big complaint about that bathroom. what else?
I had an apartment that didn't have a bathroom door once. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
That's like literally my nightmare.
As I think I've probably said, every time we've talked about bathrooms, my preferred style of door is almost like a sealed chamber. Like, I want to be in that bathroom and be able to scream for help and have nobody hear me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that.
What about that appeals to you?
I don't know. So, like, I feel like it's not like I'm doing like anything out of the ordinary, but I also like I don't
but
want
you
anybody.
Never know.
Well, yeah, you never know, especially you know with Clover, of course. But like, I
with the like the rice and like Sour Patch Kids diet.
Listen, it's only been a couple of days of that. Thank you very much.
You're fine. You're young and resilient.
Usually there's craisins and Cheez-Its mixed in with the rice.
Oh, right.
Yeah. but, you know, I ran out of craisins a couple of weeks ago. So it's a real problem in the
Is
the
there
Naha
a craisin shortage?
No, I just haven't gone to the store, as we've discussed. 2 weeks in a row, Mark.
Is it because you found out that spiders cling to cranberries when they're in the bog?
You told me this the other night, didn't you?
No, Laurel told you.
Oh, yeah. Laurel told me this. Right. Okay, excuse me. Don't
wait,
let Laurel
you want
find
the spiders
out.
To drown?
No, well, okay, you know I'm arachnophobic, right, Mark?
I didn't know that.
Oh man, I really can't do spiders.
Interesting.
Real, real fucking problem for me.
What about other bugs?
Most other bugs I'm fine with.
Wow.
What about the spiders?
They're scary.
Yeah, was there like a particular film or encounter that you had as a child?
Well, actually, yes. There is an experience I had as a child. Well, there's two. The first was that I was on a family camping trip, and my father, old jokester that he is, when I was going to sleep at night, he said, in the morning, double check your shoes before you put them on, because tarantulas like to hide in them.
Okay.
And that scared the shit out of me, and I was afraid to put my shoes on. That was an early thing that made me not like spiders. Thanks, Dad. Then another, I don't know, a scary spider like crawled on me. Like I was like outside or something, and it freaked me out. I was probably like 7.
That is bad news for anyone who's a parent and likes like making jokes. It's like you really can't do that to kids because you never know what they're just gonna carry with them for the rest of their lives.
Right. Yeah.
But I would totally be that kind of parent, just same. Like razzing them.
Yeah. No, my kids would be so fucked. Anywho. We didn't really talk about the lyrics of this song. Well, I guess we did. Fuck everybody.
I regret to inform you that there are no interesting Genius annotations.
That's true. But what I do like about the Genius page is that they wrote out the him talking at the beginning, including him going, it's an A. I think I'm tuned to an A.
That's
yeah, he's
hilarious.
Tuned to, you know. A few cents sharp of an A.
Mark, do you have perfect pitch?
No, but I was noodling along on guitar to these three songs earlier while I was listening.
Gotcha.
And I had to do a lot of bending to be in tune with John here.
Sure.
Interesting. You know, the line, my Italian shoes, well, they will be to die for. I mean... How can you not feel like vengeful joy during that moment? It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's got a real, like, I want to run away from home, but I have no idea, but I would probably hate that if I actually did. Like, that's the, like, emotional vibe of this song.
Right. Like, the, I don't want to be where I am, but, like, nothing actually seems better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're like a kid and you, where else are you going to go? You know, you just like, there's one clip I watched of him performing this song where he has another little like spiel before he plays. And he talks about like, you know, wanting Batman to, or just like telling people like Batman's going to come and like rescue him or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, fuck you. I'm going to go live with Batman or something. It's pretty cute.
That is cute.
Yeah.
But
why can't it be called Hawaiian Feeling? I have no idea.
Yeah. Hold on. It says there is an annotation about this that doesn't, I don't know. Okay. Look, I'll just read it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. I don't know. Darnell originally intended to call this track Hawaiian Feeling and still considers this an acceptable alternate title. Okay. The song is about desperately needing to be out of a place and imagining quote-unquote fantastic scenarios of how you will escape. Appropriately, Hawaii is a place many people idealize as an escape from their day-to-day life and problems, or at least from winter. Though homicidal alien invasion or life as a drug addict are not generally considered similar to a vacation in Hawaii, it feels that way to the protagonist.
There we go. That makes sense.
I don't think this annotator did a good job of distinguishing between what Darnell said and what they were making up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I get it. Like, I think that's a good point. Do you want to talk about your next song?
So this is the title track, I guess, from the album Idiot Paradise by the Belgian band Dirk.
Yeah.
With a and period. Another note about with a period at the end.
Thank you.
fun about these three songs is I picked three songs that I did not discover through like an algorithm on, you know, my music streaming platform. Because not because I haven't discovered good things that way. I definitely have, but I've had to like fight to keep them in the front of my mind. Like I don't discover new music that way that resonates with me the same way that songs do when a friend will tell me about them. Or like this band Dirk, I first heard on like the local radio. I was coming home from band practice in Providence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like turned on the radio and I was like, whoa, this is a, I think it was the song No from the same album. And I just thought it was great. It's definitely like, yeah, I don't know how I would describe them as a band. They're like indie rock.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole album just sounded really fresh to me. And this song, Idiot Paradise, especially stuck out because for about like 2 to 3 minutes, like in the beginning of the song, you're like, cool, indie rock. Yep. I get it. You know, like great guitar tone, pretty easy to listen to. And then it kind of like devolves and gets kind of noisy and weird.
Yeah.
And then just kind of comes back into like that original vibe. And I wasn't expecting that. So that little like surprising moment felt refreshing.
Yeah. I think when I started listening to this song, I thought they cannot sustain this for how long this song seems to be. Not like they're bad at it, just like nobody could, like it's just not going to be interesting for that long. But so I really like that diversion. Like I think it evolves in like a very satisfying way, but it feels really, like very cohesive. Like it's like a left turn, but it's not like into like you know, another country.
Yeah, it's just like sort of like I don't know, it's the same feeling, it just amps it up to another level and then slowly brings you back.
Yeah.
And as someone myself who generally writes like pretty straightforward poppy songs, when I hear a song like that, I'm like, oh, you can have both. Like there's like interesting structures to be had out there and still be like pretty poppy.
Yeah, totally. Mark, what's your take on Dirk? Period.
My initial reaction that I can't totally justify is that it feels like it's Radiohead's fault.
That's so funny that you say that because I was listening to it again this evening and it's like that tone like is so Radiohead. And that was the first time that like it struck me, but I can definitely hear that.
And there's like the whole band is doing Radiohead, or like the sort of like lineage of Radiohead, Coldplay, rock going from there. Except the lead guitarist is very clearly like obsessed with the Strokes. And if you listen to like the lead guitar line, it's like straight off of This Is It. Like same tone, same kind of phrasing, everything.
Oh, nice.
And so that's what I think about with this band, is that it's like in that like post Coldplay Killers kind of space, but also makes me think of the Strokes.
Would I like the Strokes?
You should have come to the holiday cover show. Oh no, you were there, weren't you? Or did you leave? The Strokes cover band played that night.
Oh, I saw the beginning of the Strokes cover band. I got really, really drunk that night and Laurel made me go home.
You did?
Yeah, oh my god, I was so fucked up. And then in the morning, like Laurel came back to my apartment to like help me get my car. And I was like, I have no fucking clue where I parked.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
What were you drinking?
Well, I mean, just like a bunch of rum and coke. But then like I went home and kept drinking. I was like in a mood that night.
So not the night to watch the Strokes.
I remember them going on stage and little else after that.
So they were probably better than the actual Strokes were when I saw them.
Well, they become kind of like notorious for like what's his name, Julian. Am I thinking the right person?
Yeah.
Singer. Like being unable to like get on stage, right? Like this has been like a constant thing lately.
Yeah, they were completely wasted. And I was like 14 and barely knew how to recognize a drunk person.
Yeah. Also,
what did you think was happening? Like, did you just think they were really bad at live shows?
Yeah, it was also my first show at that particular venue, which I now understand to have terrible sound no matter who is playing. And it was also just like my first time being unsupervised at a big concert.
Where was it, Mark?
14. It was at the State Theater in Portland, Maine.
Oh, sure.
I don't recommend seeing any kind of music there ever if you care about being able to hear anything.
Real quick, I want to say, Laurel didn't force me to go home. That's what I said, but that's not what actually happened. She said, I'm going home and you can't drive. And I said, let's go. Thanks, homie. I just wanted to set the record
straight. That's a fair edit,
yeah.
I think Laurel's clearly been the protagonist in this story the whole time.
Yeah, totally. Laurel rules. Fuck yeah. anyway, Dirk is cool. Dirk period is cool. Why do you think there's a period?
I don't know, but I shared this band with my bandmates Andy and Tyler, and I was talking to them about it, and Tyler was like tell me more about this band. Like, I can't like place them like musically. Like, I don't, something's not like quite fitting in my head about this band. And then he found out they were from Belgium, and somehow that made it all make sense. It's like, oh, okay, they're like, they're not like an American indie rock band. I don't know.
Okay, sure.
I don't know why they have a period. I guess because it's edgy.
Yeah, different. That's true. Once I saw the period, I was like, I would not fuck with these guys.
I mean, exclamation point is a little strong, but period, okay.
Well, yeah, because exclamation point is like, hey, we're Dirk, we're fun, right? But period is like, we're Dirk, and that's all I have to say about it.
Although there might be an exclamation point on the album art.
That's fucked up.
Is there? No, I don't think there is.
They seem pretty like committed period. To the period.
It's a period. Yeah. I don't know. Apparently they're like the most popular band in Belgium, which I guess makes sense because it's like a very small country, but that must be a cool feeling to be like, it's not like they're like worldwide famous, but everyone in their little country goes to their shows.
Do you think they're going to do Eurovision sometime?
What's Eurovision?
It's like a song performance contest, and every country like submits a band.
Oh, or like I think a singer. They would have a good shot. Maybe.
And a couple years ago, or I guess maybe it was last year, Public Image applied to represent Scotland, which I think is very funny. So
I don't know them either.
Oh, that's like John Lydon's post Sex Pistols band.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah. Did we talk about that with Eric, Mark? The Eurovision thing.
We may have.
Okay.
some Eurovision winners you may have heard of include ABBA. And that might be the only one. Celine Dion.
What country was she?
Just kidding.
For
Switzerland.
Huh.
Because only European countries are competing or something?
As far as I understand, yeah.
She was the performer. The songwriters of the song that she performed were Swiss.
Oh, okay. That still feels like cheating to me.
Well, maybe she's French or Canadian and Swiss.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not on the Eurovision committee or whatever, so... But I'd like to be.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, we should leverage our Song Sandwich fame into...
Oh, yeah. I think Eurovision needs the Song Sammy bump.
How long have y'all been doing this podcast?
Well, this is the, 107th episode or something?
Yeah, it's basically, this is the 2-year anniversary for Clover and the 1-year anniversary for me.
Yeah.
And at what point did you come on board, Mark?
Last January.
Yeah.
So it's been about a year.
Yeah, because my old co-host had a fucking baby. What an idiot.
Oh, you did have another co-host before.
Sounds like he's a baby.
You know what? Last time I saw him, that's what I told him. He came to visit me right here in this very room that I'm sitting in. A month ago. And he walked in and I said, by the way, Andrew, you're a fucking baby.
So that is just what you do to all your friends when you see them for the first time.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is. Oh, but man, you know what? Okay, so here's another story that we'll have to bleep out, but you'll like this, Mark. So Andrew's daughter is named right? And so the other day I was on the phone with Andrew's wife, and I was telling her some stories about a different person named and I was on speakerphone, and it was really cute because every time I would be like, and then you're never going to fucking believe what fucking said then, and then the baby would like babble every time she heard her name because like she's like just kind of starting to figure it out. And I was like, this is really cute, even though I'm really mad.
That is very cute.
Yeah. So,
do I know the drama that you were dishing about?
Yeah, it's his name.
Oh, duh! I'm so. Of course.
Anyway, maybe I should try to date somebody from Belgium so I can go see Dirk.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, should I get on Belgian Tinder?
Yeah, I support it. Yeah, only I mean, if you I can change like, your location. Along.
Yeah, okay. There you go. So, Em, if I got like a foreign partner who would pay for you and me to go visit them, would you go as like my safety buddy?
100%.
Yeah, okay. I'm just telling you, don't write a check you're gonna be afraid to cash later.
I'm not afraid to cash that check. If you're somehow dating someone that like wants to pay for both of our plane tickets, then like good on ya. That's gonna be super impressive.
It's gonna be great for both of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
Clover's like, still working on the fly out thing. Right now she's still buying her own plane tickets.
Yeah, well, anyway, but yeah, I mean, when I don't even have a joke to make anymore, Mark. You know, everything's fucked up and weird. But what I was going to say is that, you know, when I went through my last breakup, what I said then and have not followed through on, but now I'm like feeling a little more committed to it, is that like I really want like to date a rich older lady.
And be like their sugar baby.
Oh, yeah, I want to be a sugar baby.
Yeah, don't we all want that?
Yes. I really want to just like text my like hot older girlfriend and be like, hey, I don't feel like working today, but I want to go to a record store. Can I have $100? That sounds fucking rad. And then we kiss a little bit, but that's it.
I want this for you. I think 2024 could be the year you become a sugar baby.
All right, cool. Yeah.
And it all starts at a Dirk show in Belgium.
Okay, so do you think I should go to Belgium on my own then and like try to find the hot older lady? Or do I try to like poach her online?
Poach, wow. It's a strong word.
I think you use your opera connections to mm-hmm. get a Paris-based sugar parent.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. then from there you can go to Belgium.
Yeah. I would take a Parisian girlfriend. Like I'd settle.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll love hearing that.
They're out there, hot older singles, Parisian singles want to chat now.
Yeah, and I'm looking to chat.
Probably.
And by the way, Mark, and then we're going to keep talking about Dirk.
What are you looking to chat about? How everyone's talking about 9/11?
Yeah, in Paris. Yeah, well maybe they just found out about it, you know. Here's what I was going to say. Because a second ago you were like, I'm sure that she would love to hear you say that. But here's the thing. There's, quote unquote, somebody who has a lot of stories told about her on the podcast that I don't know why I'm doing all that in air quotes because nobody can fucking see it, where we have to bleep out most of it. And that person told me recently that she thinks it's funny and she likes it. So, fuck it.
Really?
The bleeping is pretty funny as someone as a listener.
Thank you.
I can tell you. Yeah.
Thank you.
I work really hard to find the right goofy jazz for the situation. and if you sometimes the song titles are a little hint into what might have gotten taken out.
Oh really?
If you're a real jazz head.
God, you're putting way more thought into
Whoa.
It.
Whoa. So many Easter eggs in this podcast, I had no idea.
Oh man. Okay. We got this great idea last night. I want to see what you think about this, Em. So we're gonna record an episode that has two members of the same band talking about the same songs. But instead of us recording it all at the same time, like I'm going to interview one of them and Mark's going to interview the other one at the same time and then we'll edit it all together.
To be clear, this is an idea that Clover has brought forward and we...
But what's the like premise that they're going to disagree and that's going to be funny?
I think that, well, what I would do is I would try to get them to talk shit about each other. Yeah,
I mean, I'm not gonna do that. I don't want to be the band that does that.
Do you think I could get Andy and Tyler to do this? Because I can't picture either of them saying something mean about anybody.
Exactly. There's too much love. There's too much love in our band. You gotta pick a band like right on the brink. You know.
Okay. Like
right on the brink of breaking up.
Like Dirk. I don't know. They don't seem like they're on the verge of breaking up. They seem like they're doing pretty good.
That would be wild if we knew a band that was about to break up and we outed it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, how would you know? It would be hard to know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. A lot of bands tell me what's going on with them. Like, I got some skeletons, or I know about people's skeletons.
How many skeletons are you responsible for?
I don't know. Don't worry about it, Mark. You know what? We need to stop talking about this. This conversation is going in such a fucking weird direction.
This is turning into a therapy session.
Well, that's what this podcast is. I don't think I told you that usually it's me asking for love advice to famous people. So
I mean, I'm fine with that. I was literally just listening to Esther Perel's podcast before.
Who's that? Call.
She's a very good relationship therapist, basically.
Oh, what's her podcast called?
Yeah. It's called Where Do We Start or something like that.
Is this the one where it's like with couples?
Where should we begin? Yeah, there's some couples on there, but there's also just like one-on-one kind of like therapy sessions. She's just really smart and she writes really well about like, you know, romantic relationships and and stuff like that. She's a really smart lady. You should check her out.
I will.
What was the book she wrote? I can't.
Maybe we could get her on Song Sandwich.
Oh, shit. Oh, hey, she's Belgian.
Yo, do you think she hangs out with Dirk?
Maybe you could date her.
Oh, fuck. It would probably be really good since she's an expert.
Exactly.
Do you think, like, relationship therapists are good at dating?
Probably.
I kind of feel like it might be annoying.
Because they would, like, always have an answer for everything?
They'd always have an answer.
I don't know. I think if they were actually good, they wouldn't always have an answer.
All right, fair enough. Yeah.
And that might still be less annoying than, like, you know, the things that other people might do that they're not doing because of their expertise.
That's true.
Okay. 100%.
All right. So my new dream lady is older, Belgian, rich, and a relationship therapist.
Yes.
Knows Dirk.
Friends with Dirk. Yeah, I want to listen to more of Dirk. Have you like done like the whole discography?
I haven't, but I've listened to that album many times. I had a hard time picking a song, but I knew I wanted it to be from that album because it's like the most recent, and I don't know, I thought they deserved a mention. But I think they have like two other albums.
Yeah,
that'll be something to dig into. But I don't know about you two. When I like an album, I'll just keep listening to it on repeat. I'm not immediately going to like, what did they record before this or after this?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I need to spend a while with the album before I look up the other stuff.
I'm fully a deep dive kind of girl. So, I want to hear it all, baby.
Nice. But, so, are you not a repeat listener, generally?
No, I am. But I just, if I like a band, like, I usually am like, I want to hear, like, the whole scope of the band.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Lately, I've been doing that with Death Cab for Cutie, a band that I never really liked before.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. I can't decide. Part of it, I think I mentioned this before, that like one of the reasons I didn't listen to that band for a long time is because I like had long-term dated somebody who was super into that band and it just like felt weird for a long time. And recently decided like maybe I'd like them, and I can't really decide. There's songs I like. I kind of like the last album, like maybe more than others.
What's that one called?
Kintsugi.
I liked Transatlanticism, but then didn't really care for Plans.
I don't love Plans. I weirdly have Plans on vinyl. I don't totally know why. I'm not really into him as like a ballady guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to add about Death Cab for Cutie. I don't think I was ever really into them. but I'm making a lot of notes of all the music we're talking about so I can listen to it later.
Yay.
They did a version of Earth Angel that I saved to my music library, but that's the only song I have by them.
Okay. That's cool.
So weird.
And maybe most important of all, Seth Cohen has the Transatlanticism album art on his bedroom wall.
Right. Yes, this is true. And what do you think about the OC?
I think I watched it when it was on.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of as far as I go with the OC. Who were the actors in that show? I feel like I claimed to have a crush on one of them. No, not really.
Not Adam Brody? Is that his name?
That is his name.
Sure. Probably. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time. Are you a big OC head?
Well, we did a whole series about the OC.
Like the music in the OC or just like the show?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, we pretended it was about the music, but it was really just us talking about the show.
I mostly remember that SNL parodied the like series finale.
Why would they parody such an emotional ending to a perfect TV show?
Because it was funny.
That's fucking rude.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think the thing that they parodied was the end of season 2 when Marissa shoots Ryan's brother.
Oh, okay. You clearly know more about it than I do.
I don't think they parodied the scene when Ryan gets emotional about seeing a young boy in need of help.
And then he looked at me and goes, "Hey kid, do you need some help?" Fuck!
So would you recommend I should watch this show?
Yeah, you should totally watch
it's a great show.
Yeah.
It's an important touchstone for people of our generation.
Yeah. And yeah, fuck
not it, that I know how old you are. But
Steve-O shows up at one point.
Oh, okay.
That's the selling point you go with.
That's sold me the most out of anything you've said up until now.
The end of season 3 is crazy. So think about that, Em.
Sure. I mean, anything I can like rent at the library, I don't really like paying for the streaming services and you know, it's time to take a look back maybe on the great TV of what, the early 2000s?
The early 2000s? Yeah. Well, okay, here's what you know, they have a lot of bands play on the OC.
Okay.
Death Cab plays. Who else shows up? The Killers? Do they play?
The Killers, Modest Mouse.
The Walkman,
the most interesting one. Yeah.
Kind of like Buffy.
Yeah. Except like it's totally. I don't know what I was gonna say when I said except it's like.
Except there's no vampires.
Except there's no vampires. There's just cuties.
Yeah, I think that's one reason I don't want to watch that show is like all the main characters are like extremely good looking and I find that disconcerting.
Yeah. That's fair. I get it. But you know, Peter Gallagher is the dad. He's got those big bushy eyebrows.
Was he on Sex and the City? Was he one of like the
Likely. Yeah. I also here's the thing I've been thinking about with him, like truly today, is that as he gets older, his eyebrows get like huge. But I watched a movie with him from the early 90s, like 2 days ago, where he's, you know, much younger, and his eyebrows aren't as big. Like, was he shaving? Was he like making them seem smaller? Or as he got older, was he just like, my eyebrows are huge now?
I think that's something that happens.
Yeah, I think you're helped along by your age at that point.
I've never seen anybody else's eyebrows get like that big.
I think most people might trim them as they get older.
You think so? Is that a thing I'm gonna have to worry about?
Yeah, I think it's it's an evolutionary indicator for wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like your ears don't ever stop growing, or your nose, maybe also your eyebrow hair.
Wait, is that true about your ears and nose?
It is.
Wow. Damn. Crazy.
Crazy, right?
Learning so much stuff. Do you want to talk about your third song?
Let's talk about it. Okay. I think this band is so underrated. I wish they went on tour more often and did more stuff, but you know, people gotta have lives. And two of the members are in another band called Ed Hockley, which is also really good.
But what's this band called and what's the song called?
This band is called Calyx, and the song is called Star of the Romantics. Back when I was living in Bloomington, Indiana, through a friend. I think, you know, they live in Pittsburgh. Maybe they came and played a show at some point. But yeah, it was really just mutual friends. And I was driving through, is that right? I was driving back from somewhere, I was driving through Pittsburgh, and I ended up at one of their shows. And it was really fun. They have a great stage presence, and like a really unique blend of styles within the band that just makes something that I don't hear that often, or I haven't heard before. Yeah. Did y'all know about this band?
No.
No.
Oh, good. Yay.
Yeah, but I really like it. I added them to my list of like records I want to go buy. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should totally buy their record.
I want to.
But I picked, sorry.
I was going to just say it's on Salinas Records, which is a label that is good. I like them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like a lot of kind of like stuff that's like in that like pop punk space where it's like a little like grungier and like more hardcore than like normal pop punk, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
More DIY maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, whatever that means.
I really appreciated the way that this is raw without being sloppy.
Yeah.
That like it's got all those abrupt tempo changes and it's all so tight. That really worked for me.
Yeah, their drummer is like such an insanely cool drummer. And Caitlin, the singer and guitarist, when they play solo, it's like fully like singer-songwriter acoustic. And I just love the way that layers on top of those, like, I don't know what you'd call that drumming style, like hardcore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maximalist.
Yeah, it's very like, there's so many parts where there's just like a fill happening over like something that wouldn't normally have a fill, I guess, right? And I think like the first time you hear it, you're kind of like, is this gonna fall apart? And it doesn't, which is like part of the magic of it.
Yeah, yeah, they're pretty tight, but not like too clean.
Yeah.
Not too clean.
Yeah. What's their other band called?
The other band is called Ed Hockley.
Can you
spell it? It's spelled E D H O C H U L I. They seem like pretty active.
I've seen that band name before.
I think they do more stuff than Calyx.
Well, I spelled it wrong. Now looking at the page for Ed Hockley, American retired attorney and former football referee.
Maybe that's where they got their name. It's just one word. I dropped it in the chat.
There is a lyric in this song that made me feel personally attacked.
Okay.
When she says that, like, if the words don't matter, you're not listening. I've said many times on this podcast that I really don't care about comprehending the lyrics of a song, and that's like the last thing I listen for.
Yeah, she's so calling you out.
Well, I like to imagine that she's calling someone else out for a different behavior, but I do feel attacked sometimes when I hear it.
It does, to me, it does seem like it's about lyrics, but maybe that's just because I also know someone who listens to music but does not listen to the lyrics quite as much as I do, or at all, perhaps.
Lyrics are fun.
I like them, but they're not for everyone.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah,
not to say that I actively dislike them. It's just not the thing that grabs me about a song, usually.
Do you write lyrics?
I do not.
Mark, if you did write lyrics, what do you think you would write a song about?
I don't know. That's not really something that I can comprehend.
Yeah.
But you play music?
Yes. Yes, I am mainly a guitar player.
Nice.
Mark booked...
Yeah, I see all your...
Mark booked the very
your
first
axes back there.
Cheap City show.
That's true, I did.
So, thanks, Mark.
Hell yeah. Where was
You're
that?
You're welcome. I'm glad I worked out.
Portland, Maine, baby.
Nice.
Yeah, we played like 10 out-of-town shows before we played a show where we're actually from, which is Cheap City, of course.
Which is Pawtucket.
Which is Pawtucket, yeah.
No.
Yeah. The cheapest of cities, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the Cheap City music scene is very clicky.
It is. It's a real problem.
So it takes a while to break through.
Yeah. Well, especially there's like a law that the band Cheap City is actually the only band that's allowed to be in Cheap City. So it's very hard if you're not like one of the five of us to be a part of the music community.
Yeah, you basically have to go to the Hogstown.
Yeah, you have to go to the Hogstown Tub, which, as everybody knows, is the sexiest song I've ever written. when we put that album out, I was really pitching to everybody who would listen to me that every song was a sex song.
What are the lyrics to this song?
A little problematic, given that you recently revealed on your Instagram close friends that one of the songs is about.
that is true. There is a song about. Oh man, we got to beep that one out. There's been some drama lately. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Em, do you ever write like songs that are like deliberately sexy?
I have in the past. I don't think any of them will ever, and none of those from the past will see the light of day, but perhaps in the future there's room for the Sun Urchins version of Divine Hammer or something like that.
Yeah, all right.
Which isn't really a sexy song, but it is about sex, so does that count?
Do you want to ask Mark what their favorite song was as a child? Because this is my favorite Mark fact.
Clover's favorite Mark fact is that my favorite song when it was big on the radio was TLC's Red Light Special, which came out when I was 6 years old. and is explicitly a song about sex. Receiving oral sex, mostly.
But I bet it had a sick beat.
Yeah, it has sick beat, great harmonies.
Yeah.
Good, awesome guitar solo played by Slash.
All right, I totally forgot about that. But Mark, when you were six, were you listening to that song being like, oh, but the harmonies are so like tight?
No, I just like, I knew that I liked the way it sounded.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I was just curious.
I was like, I was at the point where I like knew music was my thing, and I was like starting to learn piano. So, the idea that I had a favorite song wasn't weird.
Sure, yeah. And when you were a child, and you started listening to music, do you remember like what the thing was that made you like music, or like, did you have a moment where you were like, "Here is like the kind of music I like"?
I don't know if I could like. I probably couldn't have put it in words at the time. I don't know if I could now. I mean, I remember really liking, my parents had this like set of like four tapes that were all like, I don't know, like New Orleans, like bluesy kind of songs, like Lee Dorsey and stuff like that. I think I just liked the how it made me feel. It just felt like upbeat and fun and made you want to dance. Yeah, I don't know. And then I listened, and then I like looking back on that, listening to the lyrics, I'm like, oh, I definitely didn't understand what any of this was about when I was like listening to it.
Yeah, so like upbeat, dancey was the vibe for you.
Makes you feel good.
Fun. Yeah.
What about you?
I get that. I think I had I was more interested in, I think, things that matched my energy level, which was high.
You can see that.
So, what were you listening to?
Oh, Weird Al. Exclusively Weird Al.
As like a tiny, tiny child?
Yeah, I got my first Weird Al cassette when I was five. I still have it, not to brag or nothing, but I got it. Yeah, it was all Weird Al until I was 10, and then it was all AFI.
The Weird Al to AFI pipeline.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh yeah, baby. Yeah, we've all been there. Yeah, and then eventually I circled back to Weird Al. It's just been, you know, me and the big guy.
Weird Al is great.
Uh,
Apparently, he like my friend went to see him once, and he like kind of gave her a lap dance, like during the show as part of the performance. Yeah,
that rules. That totally rules.
I was laughing at you using referring to Weird Al as the big guy, which is, I think, mostly a turn of phrase people use to talk about God. So M's friend got a lap dance from God, and
I see no problem with this.
I think that rules.
Makes a lot of sense.
I've been thinking for a few minutes now about what sexy pop punk would sound like.
Yeah.
And is it just the Fall Out Boy song Dance Dance?
That's a sexy song.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
Or like, is that how we end up with Panic at the Disco? Is a mistaken pursuit of sexy pop punk?
I have a question about what makes a song sexy. Is it the fact that it is about sex? Or is it that it inspires you to have sex? Or is it something that you would listen to while you're having sex?
It's somewhere between the second and third options, but the first option by itself is not sufficient. Because there are many songs about sex that are supposed to make you feel bad. And I would say those are not sexy.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. Okay. Okay, so somewhere in between making you want to have sex and something you listen to while you fuck.
I don't know. I think it could be purely aesthetic thing too. But I do think if it sounds sexy, then you probably also would listen to it while you're having sex. So kind of like those two things are kind of connected.
Yeah. I'm not really into listening to music in general. Just kidding. I like music. But I feel like in the bedroom, as it were, I find music to be very distracting because I like it. And then the old noggin gets to thinking about how music works, and you know, all bets are off once that happens.
Yeah, I think I would be distracted, but I would be distracted because I'm always distracted when I'm the one who puts music on, because I'm always like, do they like it? Do they like the songs?
Right, yeah. And I'm always like, do they think the parts that I think are really cool, like, do they also think
it's cool? Yeah, that's fair.
And then, like, you know, if you have, like, a playlist on Shuffle, you're always like,
oh, you can't do that for that purpose. No, 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 no.
Right, yeah. This is why I need silence. Pure focus.
Yeah, it needs to be rhythmless, because the body has its own metronome in that situation.
Yeah, that's why I'll only fuck to, like, I don't know, like Einstein on the Beach or something.
Is there a Spotify playlist for this, by the way?
Whoa. Oh, almost certainly.
A new really dumb Clover idea is, should I do like a really cool like drum machine remix of Einstein on the Beach, but call it Einstein on the Beat?
I say why not?
I think this is the part where I have to confess to not knowing what Einstein on the Beach is.
Oh, it's it's a long opera by Philip Glass that has a lot of, like, you know, very complicated, like, organ stuff that's, like, you know, in, like, weird phrase lengths and shit.
I mean, what's sexier than complicated organ stuff with weird phrase lengths?
Wow.
I know. Yeah. Honestly, I know a minute ago I was saying that I don't like to have sex while I listen to music, but I think if it was, like, really cool, like, organ shit, I think I could get into that. Okay, so new characteristic for my future girlfriend is also that she's like an organ aficionado.
So you're just making this person more and more like impossible to find.
Yeah.
Nose Dirk is an organ aficionado.
Had her driver's license on her before 9/11.
Yes, this is true. Or at least had the ability to.
Probably great public transit in Belgium.
Oh, yeah, totally. I would love to be like getting down with my hot older Belgian girlfriend and have her be like, you know, I also prefer the sound of the Farfisa to the Hammond. Like, we're so alike in so many ways. And I'd be like, it's so hard to find people who agree with me.
Wouldn't that just lead to a conflict over who gets to play the Farfisa?
Well, that's what... Two manuals, baby. Okay. An organ with two manuals is like a tandem bike.
Okay. I'll believe that. Playing footsie on the pedal board.
Oh, yeah, on the pedals? Yeah, that'd be like, cute, right?
Sorry, I thought that was my B-flat.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast. Was it fun?
Thank you for having me. It was very fun. I love all the drama.
Oh, there's drama.
All the drama and all the stories. And I hope you liked my songs. And
loved them. What people should listen to Sun Urchins and Como Que Wow.
Como Que Wow. Yeah, we're still a band. We don't do much these days, but hopefully soon. Sun Urchins, we were supposed to play a show this Friday at Lost Valley Pizza, but that venue is no more. So our next show is on the 27th in Warren at In Your Ear.
What time is that?
I think it starts at 7.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But that venue seems cool, and I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, I went there to buy records, recently. Had a good time.
Oh, wow. You're a real vinyl head. That's something I learned about you during this podcast.
Yes, I sure am. It's a problem.
You might be able to see the vague outline of a bookshelf over Clover's left shoulder, and that's full of records.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of records. Just don't move anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other day, my friend Katie was over, and I was talking about how I don't really like where that shelf is. But then I thought, do I really want to take all the records out, move the shelf, and then put them back? No.
Unless you're Belgian, older woman, organ enthusiast also has a passion for, like, reorganizing.
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, that's, like, kind of the dream.
What did you say?
That's, like, kind of the dream. I'm going to... I take back everything I said about Belgium, organs, age, wealth.
Wow.
We're just looking for like a cutie who's like, I love to reorganize.
This is suddenly much more attainable.